Hi and Happy New Year, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for January 6th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me in cyberspace is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Let's see. Yes, I feel like I should have some party poppers or some of those little Weezer paper whistle things that go whee. That doesn't translate well to audio, I'm afraid.
Well,
it's probably worse on video,
and
so
probably,
we'll skip it.
Yeah, after almost a week into the new year, it's probably just you looking silly.
It's probably my sinuses.
Well, I hope you had a good holiday. I'm sure your vacation was probably shorter than mine. But,
3 days, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad to be talking with you here. We've got a couple of transactions of interest that we had occur while I was on vacation since our last show. And we're going to talk about the new MPB commissioner. So those are the main topics. Let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so the Tohoku Rakuten Eagles decided to post Masahiro Tanaka. No surprise there in some respects, and then a little bit of a surprise because it seemed like they were leaning toward not posting him, and I really don't think they wanted to.
Well, I think, first of all, I think what they have to do is look at what's in their best interest.
Definitely.
And I think along with a number of other people, that what would be in their best interest was have him play 2014 in Sendai, because he's probably still going to be worth $20 million in the post in 2015.
Yeah, even if he goes,
and,
let's say...
he's going to make the same money anyway. So
yeah, let's say he goes 15-5, he's still...
he goes 10-5, he's still going to be worth $20 million,
right,
I bet you.
Right.
So, because he's still Masahiro Tanaka now. If he gets hurt, well, you know, that's the chance you take with every player, but he'd still be worth something, and you'd still have him for another year. I mean, you still have the best pitcher in Japan for another year.
Well, let's put it this way. He'd be worth more than $20 million, but that's all they can get for him.
Exactly. Now, of course, here is the thing, which we're going to get to in a second. Okay, so I'll hold my water on that. But yeah, I wasn't surprised that they did post him. I was disappointed that they posted him.
Disappointed.
I was disappointed how they went about doing it, that they could have had a better solution being Rakuten and having all those smarts instead of just caving in.
Well, yeah, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to your opinion on it. I mean, I posed a few questions to you, and hopefully we can discuss them here. My thought on them, or my take on their decision, was that it was based on the fact that this is an internet company. It does a lot of business on the internet, and they're very internet savvy, and the name is all over the place. And to not post Ma-kun in this situation would put the company name in a bad light, because as you mentioned before, late last year, it's now that a fact that the fans want to see the Japanese
yep.
star player go over to the States and see what he can do. And if
right.
they put the reins on him, if they put the shackles on him and keep him here, I don't think the fans, I don't think the people here in Japan, even the non-Eagles fans, the fans of other teams who actually want to see what he can do in the States, I don't think they would have seen the Rakuten name in a very positive light.
Yeah, I think that was a very important part of the consideration, is that yeah, they're getting taken to the cleaner. And again, of course, you know how I feel about it. I think the whole thing's a scam. That they're making millions and millions of dollars off of somebody that they didn't develop. You know, they signed him and they helped him develop himself.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a context and some help here and there. And it didn't really matter. You know, he was the one who did that, not them. They're going to be responsible for some of that, but anyway, I'm an anarchist at heart. I think that salaries are out of whack, and I think everything, the whole system stinks to high heaven. I mean, I think the whole professional baseball, the way it's run, is silly and anachronistic and so on and so on, but that's a whole other ballgame. So anyway,
he says jokingly. I'm there with you. I think it was all about saving the brand. Obviously the team wanted to come back and try to win back-to-back Japan Series titles, and they want to show that the first year wasn't a fluke. And look, they had Hisashi Iwakuma just 2 years before, and they were able to win the Japan Series without him.
Right.
And they're going to lose another star player. I think they just wanted to show that this is a really good team. This was no fluke. Let's win it again. But at the same time, you've got to, this kid obviously wanted to make his way over there to the major leagues. And, I can understand the fact that they're sour about the $20 million cap on the posting fee. It's peanuts right. for a hurler of, you know, he's been rated so highly by the scouts.
Right. And in this market.
Exactly. And I, obviously I was in the States and I tried to read as much as I could while I was over there, and I kept seeing articles saying that the Eagles had asked to meet with Tanaka in early December and, mm-hmm. and ask him about exactly mm-hmm. what his desire was in terms of going to the States. Maybe, you know, could he wait another season? In fact, I imagined them down on their knees begging him to stay. And then I heard the rumors of a money pitch and, you know, an 8 billion yen deal and all kinds mm-hmm. of craziness that probably didn't even include the bonuses that they probably offered him and all these things to keep him there. But I think ultimately, again, you know, when they tested the waters in terms of seeing what it would do to the brand, I think it was better for the Rakuten brand, not the team, mm-hmm. but for the brand, for them to let him go.
Okay. Well, I guess, of course, now that he has gone, that he is, now he has...
He's been posted. Yeah, he's not gone yet.
Well, that is what I meant. He's free to sign with whoever wants to throw Rakuten $20 million. Now, here's the thing. We actually haven't heard that Rakuten is asking $20 million. They could be asking nothing. But I'm not counting on that.
No.
So that the posting fee, the release fee, as it is technically called, was $20 million. Was probably $20 million. And basically, there's no auction. There's no list of teams saying they want to do it. They either, you know, basically they call him, and if they make a deal, they have to pay the fee. There's no formal process, apparently. I don't think they have to register with the U.S. Commissioner's Office or anything. So it's somebody said essentially that he's a free agent. Well, he's not a free agent because he's got to sign a contract by January 24th, which is really tight.
Yeah.
So anyway, my solution is I mentioned last year was, why don't you? And I talked to Jim Small, who's the head of MLB Asia, and I talked to Don. I didn't talk. I mentioned this to Don Nomura, and both of them said, you know, this is not a problem. It certainly could have been done. Would be for Rakuten to say, well, we want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to stay and we want you to go, but we also want to get fair value for you. So here's the deal. We're not going to post you, but for a guaranteed amount of money, we will make you a free agent. We will release you. And then you pay us back on, you know, based on the terms that we agree on, whether it's, you know, $35 million or $40 million or whatever. Anyway, and that's the deal. And then we don't have any of the other nonsense that is now going on in MLB, because he would be a free agent and there would be no rules. He wouldn't be breaking any rules by doing what he wants with his money.
Yeah, well, that's the next thing I wanted to get to.
Exactly.
What was your opinion of MLB going to all the trouble to issue a letter to Rakuten and to NPB about the possibility? Because when I read the story, Tanaka himself hadn't come out and said anything. It was Yozo Tachibana, I think, who came out and said something. He's the president.
He is the president of the Rakuten Eagles. Yeah.
Yeah, and MLB issued the Eagles and NPB a letter about them circumventing the new posting system rules because the pitcher wanted to possibly donate to the tsunami and earthquake ravaged people via the stadium or via stadium improvements. Yeah, and I thought, well, who are they?
Which the Eagles do not own. This is not their stadium.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is just another example of MLB throwing its elbows at NPB, you know, because I really think that's what happened in the bargaining, if you want to call it bargaining.
Well, here's the
negotiations. Yeah, negotiations for the posting system in the first place. They were throwing elbows there, so now they throw more elbows, and they throw one at Tanaka, telling him you can't spend your money like that.
Yeah, I know.
The nerve of these guys!
I was outraged, and one of our Twitter guys, Yaku Nidal, had a great line, which was an open letter from MLB to NPB, which was, "Dear NPB, we force our communities to close schools, lay off teachers, and shut down hospitals to support their sports teams. We expect you to do the same."
Boom!
Signed MLB.
Nice one.
The night out. Cha-ching, baby.
Yeah, that is, I mean, the nerve of these guys. I mean, who do they really think they are?
Well, they think they're MLB and they're, you know, they're so used to extorting money from communities, they figure they should be able to extort money from Japan as well. Look, in fact, one through Bob Whiting said a source of his told him that the posting system is a favor for Japanese players on the behalf of MLB.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like charity.
And how's that? We'll let you come over to the States.
We'll take your talent, and if we don't like it, we'll throw you back to Japan. But you won't have to wait to be a free agent. And here's the thing. If they got rid of the right now, they're stuck with this posting system. Now, I do not know the details of the collective bargaining agreement with MLB and its union. It could say in the bargaining agreement that there is no way for non-free agent talent to come from Japan except through the posting system.
Mm-hmm.
That could be in the document. So it could be that if they throw out the posting system, there is no transfer unless you're a free agent. That could be the case. But if there were, you know, people were saying, Jim and Don Nomura were saying, if there was no posting system, players would just get up and leave when they could get up and leave. You know, teams could basically sell their players the way they used to be able to.
Yeah, I was just wondering why there was an extra year on the international free agency, which requires that you play for, was it 9 years?
Yeah.
And why is there that extra year? Because if you're a free agent, you're a free agent. Why do you have to have domestic free agency and international?
It used to be 9 years for everybody, and now it's 8 years instead of nine. And actually, I believe
eight for which one?
It's nine. It used to be nine for everything, and now it's eight. It's a year earlier if you want to stay in the country. That was a sort of a sop to get players, to encourage them to stay in Japan, because if they stay in Japan, they can't be free agents for another 3 years or 4 years. Excuse me. You can't be a free agent the second time for 12 years.
If you stay with the same team,
it doesn't matter if you declare for free agency. If you stay in the country, your next free agency won't be, if you, after your eighth year, if you file for domestic free agency,
mm-hmm.
you cannot file for free agency until 4 years later.
Okay. So the idea of guys not being able to play in another country if another team in that country wants them, it's just, to me,
it is silly.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And again, you know, the MLB is, as a number of people pointed out, I know Jason Koskri at the Japan Times pointed this out, that teams are getting, you know, made, the Japanese teams are paying upwards of $1 million sometimes for 3A guys who are just a little bit past their use-by date, but are still valuable players. You know, they're still under contract, and they're buying out those contracts for up to $1 million a pop. So there's no MLB doesn't have any problem with selling players. It has problems with Japanese teams selling players if it's a free market. However, that being said, the posting system is great for 90% of the players. However, now I'm not certain. I wish there were more things I was certain about. But the language of the new posting agreement says that it can be canceled by either party, you know, I guess canceled or voided by either party up to 180 days before the anniversary of its approval, which was December something or other.
You're talking about the posting system itself.
Right, right. So I'm guessing that, you know, if there is, I don't know the CBA, but if the CBA doesn't proscribe player movement from Japan, you know, whether it's, you know, it has to be through the posting system. If it doesn't, if that language is not in the CBA, then I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't, let's say there's another big player, let's say Maeda Ken has a Tanaka season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say he goes 20-1 or 20-2.
Yeah, let's be realistic. He's not going to go undefeated. Not on that team.
No. Well,
they don't score enough runs, that's all.
Well, that team
generally
is that team, and this team is the next team. So in any case, let's say that happens, and the carp, and suddenly Japan saying, well, here's another, you know, we're just getting shafted again. Can I say shafted on a podcast? I guess so. We're, you know, got the Richard Roundtree vibe going
on
here.
Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to say Shaft, the movie, baby. You got it. But yeah, getting shafted. Go ahead.
Just getting shafted. They may say, well, NPB doesn't want to get, you know, the short end of the stick again. So if it's not in the CBA, they'll say 180 days before the anniversary of the date, which would be 6 months. Or so let's say June 10th or June 9th or somewhere in there, they'll say, sorry, we're abrogating the posting agreement. We're not going to have one for next year. Mm. So take that and suck on it, MLB.
Yeah.
And what do we bid for Kenta Maeda? Because we're going to just sell them on the free market.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that occur, obviously, because I do think MPB got shafted. But again, I said it before on the last show of the year, maybe that was their plan because now they have a legitimate reason not to post their players, these teams in Japan, because they don't think the $20 million fee is enough.
Well, that, you know, certainly that fits the view of the Yomiuri organization, which essentially created the need for a posting system by inaugurating free agency in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then said the postings, free agency was the right thing, and the posting system was an abomination. Who would, you know, so, because it didn't fit in with their master plan of capturing all the excess star talent in Japan.
Right.
So anyway, the Yomiuri Shimbun has been an opponent of the posting system in every form. I'm sure they were behind this deal with the hopes, as you said, of cleverly keeping that talent in Japan. Now, the other thing is that, well, we'll get to that in a little while. But anyway, there's all these angles going on. But and in any case, as far as most talent, I mean, there are some elements of the posting system which are satisfactory. I mean, the idea that the players can play for anybody who wants to pay the fee. They can negotiate with anybody who wants to pay the fee. I like that a lot.
Right. I like that aspect. And I like the idea of the player having a little bit more freedom. But I think what you said at the end of the year last year, and that the prices, you know, the reason that we had these negotiations because MLB came to MPB and said, hey, look, we're paying way too much money for this talent.
We don't want to pay as much as we pay.
As much as we pay.
What they said actually is we don't want to pay as much as we're willing to pay.
Yeah. So
we're willing to pay you too much.
Too much.
So
yeah.
You should do something about that.
Yeah. We don't have
you
control.
You should fix that.
We don't have control of our wallets here. Could you?
Exactly. Exactly. We can't control ourselves. So you should do something about it.
Right. So, like
schools.
I said, I agree with that aspect. But what I think is the difficult part is them saying that they want to pay so much less for these players, and then, like you said, they're going to end up paying the same, maybe more. And you look at Tanaka, it might even be more because he's such a valuable player now. And you know,
in this market, he's exceedingly valuable because here's another thing that goes with him, which is right now. The major league free agent market, although there's not a pitcher's market. It's David Price is the pitcher, the big pitcher on the trading block right now.
Right.
And everyone's waiting to see where Tanaka goes to see where what the deal for David Price is going to be.
Yeah, Tanaka's the big domino that's going to start the
domino.
The big domino.
Man, I'm getting the Van Morrison now. So anyway, the big domino, I love it. Another thing with the CBA, which I was reading this past week, is we're into the new year and there's a slew of free agents who are not having any luck getting signed. And that's because of an agreement the players union got into with MLB over free agent compensation. Essentially, there's these guys, and they want a lot of money. And if a team signs them, they're going to have to give up a first-round draft choice.
Yeah, the compensation to the team that
that's right.
Comes, yeah,
and this has been, of course, that's been a great deal. I know the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's have cleaned up on these compensation draft picks over the years. I mean, that was Carlos Belt was. They got two picks for him. They got two picks for a guy who played who didn't have time to pick his nose with San Francisco.
Carlos Beltran, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was there for a month and a half, and they got two first-round draft choices out of that guy.
Wow.
That's a trade, man. I want more of those trades.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I, you know, there's a lot of angles. There's a lot of dynamics. There are so many things going on here. It's hard to focus, but I do want to focus on
what I'm saying about Tanaka is there's no compensation with that. There's no hurt.
Yeah, yeah. It's very little. The 20 million isn't a big deal, and the Eagles don't get to pluck one of the players off of their roster.
Right.
So, getting into that now, you talked about David Price. Where do you think Tanaka goes? I think I posed the question to you. Where would you like to see him go?
And to be honest, personally, I couldn't care less where he goes. I think he's going to, you know, that's up to him. You know, he's going to go where he thinks it's the best place for him, given the money.
Well, I'm talking about you. What do you feel? Not what he feels. We don't know what he feels.
It doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter at all what I think where he should go. I mean, I want him to go to play for the San Francisco Giants because I think they should spend their money entertaining me.
Well, that's great. That's one place where you think he should go.
Well, that's the only place I think he should go.
No, but come on now. Where's another place where you think he could be successful? I mean, that's a different question too. But I mean,
where could he be successful? He could be successful anywhere. Where could he win a championship? I think is an issue. I've heard, and I'll have to exceed to or defer to people who know MLB a lot better. You know, who watch it on a daily basis. I watch it now and then. I follow it semi-regularly, but basically the names I keep, you know, the Chicago Cubs have said they're not going to be outbid, but I don't think that's going to matter because I don't think anybody wants to play in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Peg and John, but you know, and it's Wrigley Field. I have nothing but affection for Wrigley Field as a fan, but if I'm a player wanting to be here and now, well, and having said that, you know, the general manager is Theo Epstein and things he's done well in the past. So things may be turning around, but I don't see that yet. But anyway, to throw out the teams that I think were most interesting, the Yankees, of course, I think need him the most.
I agree. And that's what I was going to say. I think the Yankees need him the most. And I think they're going to break their very bountiful bank to try to get him, and I think it's going to be hard for other teams to compete with that because there's a guy dangling out there who's probably going to be pretty productive, we think, and it's just about money.
It's not just about money, but I think if they...
In terms of acquiring him, yeah, right? It's just
right.
about the money?
Well, I mean, the other thing is he could say to the team, well, I'm not going to give anything to Rock 10, but you could give something to Tohoku area or something. That could be part of the deal.
Yeah.
MLB would go nuts, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I would too. I want to I want to see the commissioner's head fly off. Man, he blew up real good. I think the teams that were the Cubs are interesting from that respect. Everybody thinks it's going to be the Yankees because they got the most money to spend, but I don't think, and Houston is an interesting team because they may be ready to compete if you trust, I think that organization is moving in the right direction. The other one that people have mentioned, Seattle.
Yeah.
Which I could care less, to be honest. We got Iwakuma there and, yeah, I don't know. They'd be an awfully great rotation with them, and I guess they got Robbie Cano and so on and so forth. And the other team that I think is really interesting is the Arizona Diamondbacks. another team I actually like quite a bit. So I think he could be very successful there as well. He could be successful wherever you put him because of his stuff and his smarts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see the Rangers kind of as dark horses. I'm not sure that they're going to spend all that much money.
I somehow can't see them putting Tanaka and Darvish on the same team.
Because?
Well, I don't think Darvish wants to be on the same team with Darvish. I think he wants to compete against him. Well, he'd be competing against him on the same team, sure enough. But I think they have more pressing needs in their pitching.
Oh, well, I think they want to win. And I think, you obviously Malkin and Darvish. And I think, yeah, I think he wants to win. I don't think he's worried about who's pitching in the rotation with him. But yeah, I think Seattle, I think that franchise could use a shot in the arm, pardon the pun, because since Ichiro, you know, came and made a big splash, even when they went to the playoffs after winning more than 100 games that season, they haven't done anything. And yeah, you bring in a Malkin, that I think it re-energizes the whole franchise and instantly makes them a contender kind of in the American League West, because they have those two top guys at the top of the front rotation. And they actually picked
top two. What about the King, man?
That's what I mean. It'd be Tanaka and
Tanaka,
Felix.
They got three.
Yeah. And Iwakuma, but yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if Iwakuma's a frontline guy, but he's put up numbers, so I can't argue with the numbers.
Those numbers in Seattle are mind-boggling, especially since they fixed the park to make it more hitter friendly for opposing batters.
Right. And of course, I'd like to see him with the Dodgers. I don't want to see him on the Yankees. I just, you know, that's the way I feel personally. But I think they're really going to make a hard push to get him. The Cubs, I'm not believing it. I won't believe it until I see or hear some more of the figures that are going around. And I just don't think they're going to be able to compete, or they're going to want to compete for one guy and spend that much money. But of course, like you said, when the shoe drops, then this big domino drops, then, you know, we're going to see where David Price goes. And I think he's the alternative. You know, all the teams that even are considering making a play for Tanaka are going to go after Price. But like you said, they have to give up that draft pick. But I think he's number two to go. And obviously it's January 24th was the deadline to make the deal.
So 5 p.m. Eastern.
So we're talking two and a half weeks
time.
Or so.
So get your alarm clock set, everybody.
Yeah, it's time to. It's
because
time
I think time the clock is ticking.
Yeah, and we will have a show just before that.
Yeah.
So
peanut butter sandwich or something.
All right, well, enough about the Malkin talk. Okay, so let's talk about the fact that the Eagles lost Casey McGee. He has left the squad. And basically, I think he wanted to go back for two reasons. One was to, and you touched on this earlier last year when you did an interview with him and discussed the fact that he has a special needs child and wanted to go back to the States and play there and be just in a more familiar environment.
Hmm.
But I also
he told me at the end of the year that it was a family issue for him and basically he was going to sort things out with his family, and here's to that. You know, it's not just about me. I mean, it is about me, but I mean, with Casey, it's not.
Right. Nice one. Yeah.
So it's refreshing.
Yeah. And he has signed with the Marlins, you said?
The Miami Marlins.
Not Florida, but Miami Marlins.
I know. I wrote Florida in a story. Okay.
I was about to say Florida until you came in and said Miami, so.
I could have gone to the California Angels, but
yeah. So that's good. And now that the Eagles did sign Kevin Youkilis, which was a big coup, I thought, for the team. Again, bringing in a big name guy. They got Andrew Jones in the offseason last year, and that was kind of a big name. So Youkilis, the former Boston Red Sox and short term New York Yankee, Chicago White Sox.
Teams he didn't play very long for, but he's a very sound. You know, he's a very fundamentally sound player, which seems to be their strategy. They're going after, obviously he's a big name. I mean, he's got more vowels than I have in my name.
by from via, you know, length alone.
Indeed, indeed. So he's a big name, and he's a fundamentally sound player, and that obviously is what they brought in. They brought to the table last year with Andrew Jones and Casey McGee. So obviously they're looking at more of the same. Now, speaking of Andrew Jones, there was a little bit of news today. Mm. Now, Andrew Jones basically, as just to remind the listeners, he's gone through, he's had several versions of his plan for Japan. The first year was, Japan will give me a chance to play every day, and I want to show people, essentially, I think show people in the U.S. what he can do on an everyday basis. He didn't say the U.S., but that was understood by me, and if I'm misrepresenting you, Andrew, please correct me. But that was the idea, but I think when he hit 240-something, that kind of went out the window. And then when he left Japan, he said, well, I want a title here, but I'm not one of those players who just wants to come and go. I want to stay in Japan and play here a long time. And I think that, to some degree, that is sincere. Mm-hmm. I think his like a lot of players who come with the same motive, they come to Japan and they're in many ways captivated by Japanese baseball the way we are. Mm-hmm. There are things about it that are very charming, and I think it grows on you. Sometimes it grows on you like, you know, the fungus you can't get off your bathroom tile.
Hey.
but in general, it's very charming. It has its many points. It has many subtle beauties to it. And I think people come here, and if they're looking, if they have their eyes open, they see a lot of those, and they say, you know, this isn't such a bad thing. It happened to a lot of players. So I think that part of it was that, and part of it was perhaps that 242 wasn't the numbers he had hoped for. But anyway, he said, I want to come back. Well, now we had the news this past week that he has received interest from several major league teams, essentially to be another fourth outfielder, which I think is not really his plan.
Mm.
And today the story was, and he said that his basic intent right now is return to Japan. The story today was somebody asked about Senichi Hoshino, about Andrew Jones, and it was reported in Sports Nippon, the Sponichi,
mm-hmm.
that Hoshino said, well, as far as our next manager goes after I'm gone, if it were Jones, I think that would be great.
Wow. Is that a ringing endorsement, or is that a...
That was essentially an endorsement. I think Hoshino, and apparently there was some talk that the team actually mentioned that to Jones at some point, that they would like him to manage. They were interested in the idea of him as a manager. Not, we want you to manage, but, you know, this is something we want to pursue or, you know, to see where that goes. So to me, that's very interesting. He got a ton of respect from Hoshino, not based on what he did in the majors, but on how he pointed out things to other players. You know, he was in a position here where he was a new guy, but he was also a guy who was very well respected for his game.
Hmm.
And he took advantage of that, and Hoshino gave him quite a bit of credit for helping to make the Eagles as good as they were able to become. You know, when he could turn the guy the right way, or say, you know, this is, try this, or don't try that, or whatever.
Right, right. He's able to give them, come through with some advice.
So that was the interesting news today. So boy, let's see how that plays out. That could be quite interesting.
Well, maybe in a couple of years, it'll be a couple, 3 years, it'll be Jones the manager and Euclid his bench coach.
if
the Euc decides to stay here. And I like Euclid. I like that pickup because he's an all-star at first base. He can play third base. He obviously can DH. He's a really good bat for the Eagles, especially with the loss of Makun. They're going to probably need a little bit of offense anyway. So that's the good part. The bad part is that, like we said, he's coming off back surgery. He didn't play a lot of games for the Yankees. He didn't play a lot of games for the White Sox. And I don't think they can expect him to play in all the games like Casey did. Casey was there every day, and he was productive every day. So And they might even have
to check. Well, he was productive consistently.
I'm sorry, he was consistently productive, not every day.
Okay.
But the thing about...
Wow, that's like the Takuya Nakamura said the other day when they asked him what was his goal. He said, I want to hit a home run every game, so my target is 144.
Nice.
That's what I call being productive every day, baby. Yeah. None of this, I'm going to do my best.
I think 144.
None of this, I'm practicing
144 is his weight in kilograms, probably, is what he was thinking about.
let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. But he already got the 100 part. He just needs to get a little bit heavier. So let's talk about the new commissioner now. I guess there was a little bit of opposition, but those teams were swayed, and now former prosecutor Katsuhiko Kumazaki is the new commissioner. He's taking over for the ball gate bumbling Ryozo Kato, and this happened late in the year.
Right. And well, he reminds me of the Will Rogers line about Judge Landis. Now, Will Rogers was an American humorist in the first half of the 20th century, and he was discussing how Judge Kenesaw Mountain Landis became the first commissioner of baseball. Well, they were looking around for a commissioner, and bunch of the owners said, well, get that guy who's sitting out there by first base every day. He's here anyway. So Mr. Kumazaki, who's a very famous
and well-respected,
he's very famous in Japan. I admit he wasn't famous to me. He wasn't a name to me, but I spoke with a prosecutor I know. He said Kuma-san is basically the It's like the Batman or the Superman of Japanese prosecutors. He prosecuted the recruit scandal, and he prosecuted a former the bribery of a former prime minister. He's done this not a former prime minister, a former kingmaker, I guess we call him Shin Kanemaru. So he's been around, and he's been around hanging around the NPB offices for the last couple of years. So that's where the Will Rogers line comes in. He's been hanging around there, and they see this guy's over 70, and okay, let's see, you got a 70-year-old guy, and we got an empty commissioner's seat. 70-year-old guy, empty commissioner's seat. Sounds like a match made in heaven.
Wow.
So, Central League teams got together, and they said, we're going to shove this down the PL's throat like we always do. It didn't quite play out exactly that way, however. So the backstory here is that he was the PL's choice. He was the Central League's choice. Let's put that more specifically, he was the Yomiuri Giants' choice, as the commissioners always have been.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And they got the Central League on their side, and The question was, now in past years, 5 years ago, the Central League would have just made him commissioner. There would have been no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
When I may have mentioned that one of the PL teams told me the first time they heard that Ryozo Kato was going to be the commissioner was the day he was announced as commissioner. there was no vote.
Yeah.
The teams
open wide. Here's your meal.
Exactly. You know, the teams that didn't need to approve it weren't told. In fact, there was no clear cut method for approving the commissioner's selection. So when Kato was being nominated for his third term in 2012, the Pacific League said, "Hold on a second. We don't want to vote for him. We're not going to just say, okay, he's our guy, because we need to get a few things clear, like how do we have a new commissioner in the first place?" And so they dragged out. He was supposed to be, I forget the month, whether it was supposed to be done in July, and he ended up being reconfirmed in August, but it dragged on for essentially a month.
I remember that,
The PL teams sought clarification of how the commissioner is selected. They wanted some transparency.
Let's see what the structure, let's figure out what the structure is and let's figure out what the process is so that next time we can get a guy in there we like.
Well, Well, it wasn't so much that, but here's the dividend of that kind of planning. Now, this is where you see the PL going places, because they had a plan. At least some of the teams had a plan. It's clear that there some teams had an action plan here. First, they're going to clarify the rules. And then the next time there's a new commissioner, which was much sooner than they expected, they were in a position to discuss what was necessary for a commissioner instead of just, you know, arriving at a meeting one day and say, who's this guy eating peanuts? Isn't he the guy who's been sitting here for the last 3 years? So they basically said what we want, PL wanted a business leader to be the commissioner. They wanted somebody from the world of business and finance because they want NPB to be run like a business. Okay. And so the problem was, according to the reports from Kyoto News, was that they couldn't agree on a single candidate. And I think the Pacific League teams are still some distance apart, and they're also sabotaged by the fact that one of the Pacific League teams, at least, is kind of backward thinking.
Right.
So anyway, but eventually, so they had their opinion, and essentially, in order to get the Pacific League the Pacific League teams to support their candidate, the Central League had to change the structure of NPB's organization. Now they're going to have a chief executive who will essentially be in charge of operating NPB's business, who will be under the commissioner. He'll be able to make business decisions.
Well, let's hope he doesn't decide to change the ball on his own. But, yeah, I think speaking in coaching terms, this guy is more of a disciplinarian. And I think the other thing that's going to be good is it looks like he's going to bring a presence to the office, because obviously Kato was a part-timer, so to speak. He wasn't always in the office due to other obligations. And
well, that was essentially all the criticism of him. It wasn't that he was useless. It's that he wasn't there.
Had he been there, I think probably in some respects, some of the things wouldn't have happened, including the changing of the ball, the unilateral decision to change the ball by one of the underlings or supposed subordinates. But
the guy who's now in charge is the guy who decided to change the
guy
ball
who still hasn't
his
yeah.
boss caught all the flack for
it. Yeah, we were wondering what was going to happen to him, and I've not seen any reports that said that he's been had anything except a ban.
No. See, here's the thing. It wasn't Shimoda. Shimoda took the blame for it. It was his subordinate Ihara who did it.
Oh boy.
And he's the guy who's now running the show.
Yeah. Well, you know,
he is a former Yomiuri guy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he's the secretary general, right? So
now
yeah.
he's the new secretary general. So they got rid of the guy who wasn't very clever ahead of him. So anyway.
So yeah, Kumazaki, he stepped in, and I did read one of the quotes that was in the Kyoto News report that said, he says that he's coming from a prosecutor's background and he's determined to be rigorously fair and politically impartial and in the execution of his professional duties. And I'm like, yeah, this is great talk, but just be on the ball, dude. Just go in and put your foot down.
Good one.
Just go in and be, you know, be.
Kato was on the ball.
Yeah, he was off the ball, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you see that it said because Kato had signed the ball, and I think commissioners usually routinely sign or have their signatures on each of the balls.
Stamped on the balls, yeah.
And Kumazaki was asked if he was going to have his name on the ball. He said, no, that's not my style. That was his answer. So, I think obviously he's the kind of disciplinarian who can probably stop people from taking liberties with decision making, and at least everything's going to go by his desk, and he's going to check it. He's going to be thorough as a prosecutor. You know that. Yeah, I'm not sure about the business part, but I'm just looking for somebody with a vision. That's what I was hoping, is they get somebody with a vision. They get somebody who can go in and negotiate and deal with the MLB pushing them around. I think the league is lagging in money-making innovation. We talked about it before. You know, the biggest star is leaving, and there's a lot of change that seems to be on the horizon. It's time for some leadership, you know, somebody who's got a vision and more importantly, takes action to make the vision into reality, which I think Kato talked about a lot, but we didn't see a lot.
Well,
in terms
problem,
of, we didn't see any
problem.
Change, but yeah,
well,
it's
well,
hard to see
problem.
Change. Yeah,
the problem is that Kato did a lot of things. I think Kato did as much as he did, far more than his predecessor, who didn't get kicked out. I mean, the guy who he took over from essentially instigated a labor rebellion by saying we can, you know, let the players go on strike. They don't have any, you know, the courts will force them back. And I know because I wrote the laws, he said. He kept saying after the players went on strike and the courts told MLB to shut up or NPB to shut up. So, no, I think, you know, he got the uniform ball, which was one of the biggest changes in NPB in, it was one of the best things the commissioner's ever done. He did that. He brought the two leagues. You know, he copycatted along with the MLB. You know, he abolished some of the things, the independence of the two leagues to make the game more uniform, which I'm not necessarily, is not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but it was a cost saving thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the ball, I think, was huge. I think the ball was huge. He did a few other things I was very fond of, but the problem with the commissioner is, They serve at the pleasure of the Yomiuri Shimbun. Although that the Pacific League is trying to change that, and a well done, well played Pacific League. We'll see how that pans out the next time the commissioner's up for review.
Yeah, we'll see if they can actually get their guy through. At least, you know, it'd be nice to see. You talked about the fact that they were wanting transparency. They wanted to see what the process was. They wanted to know. And perhaps next time they can have somebody in place, or they can groom somebody and get them ready, and then push that person up to the front and say, hey, this is the guy we want, and then put their feet down and try to get the guy in. But I'm looking forward to Kumazaki just to see what he's going to bring, and I think there's a lot of question, but I think at the very least he won't let the league get pushed around, and he'll raise the profile. I think that's important too, to raise the profile. I'm not sure how to do
pushed around. I wonder. Well, again, still the same problem that exists, this essentially the same problem that exists is that NPB, it's very hard for them to work together. Although under Kato, although the budget was odd, I mean, the NPB shop actually is kind of interesting now. It used to be a their website is still a shambles, but it is much more useful than it was when he came into office.
Okay.
So it's less of a shambles.
All right. Well, it's good that the commissioner is in place. They needed to do that. I'm kind of shocked that it took as long as it did. I think they should have had, you know, there should have been somebody as soon as Kato said he was going to leave. I think within a couple, 3 months, they could have had somebody.
Well, they essentially wanted to ram him down the PL's throat, but they said, hold on, wait a second. So that was the process. I mean, that's the due process.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all taken care of. Yeah, it's all taken care of. Now we have winter camp scheduled to open in less than a month. Ah, did I say winter?
You did. That was not a misstep on John's pejorative treatment of Japan's
so-called
training.
Oh, nice, nice way to sidestep it there. They call it spring training, man. At the beginning of February. February 1st, man. There's too much snow on the ground.
They don't have camp where it snows.
Yes.
Well, Miyazaki sometimes. They used to have spring training some days when the fields were frozen in Kochi.
Yikes. You know, I'm thinking about a short trip to Okinawa. We'll have to see. Maybe like a couple, 3 days just late in the camp. We'll have to see.
I don't know. My schedule will be tight. I would love to go. I love going. I used to love going to camp.
Yeah, I know. All right, so we will talk to you in a couple weeks. If you have any questions, please send an email or an MP3.
I can't call you with a question?
No. I'm not giving you my number.
Wow, that hurts, buddy.
You just stick to email.
Man, now you know what it's like working with the great man. You listeners who have questions, listen to what John has to say. I'm tired of listening.
You're killing me here. Send your inquiries or comments or questions to yakyujohn@gmail.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page, where I haven't visited for a while because no one has left a note there in a while, but it's still there. So we're looking forward to a great season. 2014, we got out at 13. You know, 13 is an unlucky number. So we're here in the year 14, the year of the horse in Japan. And I guess not the Chinese. It's the Chinese calendar, but the Chinese calendar is different from the Japanese Chinese calendar. So.
It'll still be the year of the horse. It just won't start until the Lunar New Year.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well, stay warm, have a good winter, and we'll talk to you next time. Enjoy your off-season.
See you in 2 weeks.